Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever. And dare I say, there has not been a day in a long time when we had more going on than we have going on right now. More Draymond drama, pro days with incredibly significant results. And the baseball season starts today. Let's do this thing.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
I just think they're going to out-hit whatever they do. And that's why I got the Rangers winning the American League West. This offense is going to be devastating.
I love the way the Cubs play and the fact that Craig Counsell is going to come in. Not that Dave Ross did anything wrong, but Craig Counsell is a really, really good manager.
It is baseball's opening day, if you don't count the two games they played on the other side of the globe a week and a half ago. We are back and better than ever, and the great Jessica Mendoza is good enough to hang out here with us as we begin baseball 2024. It's such a good day. It's such a celebratory day. And for those of you who are not with us on Get Up this morning, Jessica made her postseason predictions. And in your World Series, the two teams you see making it all the way are...
the Dodgers and the Orioles. And, you know, the Dodgers isn't a huge surprise, although a lot of people, most people are picking the Atlanta Braves, you know, to come out of the NL. I think the Baltimore Orioles still just don't get credit for what they did last year. And honestly, if they wouldn't got Corbin Burns is going to add to that rotation, they're... youth, Jackson Holliday, guys. You might not know his name, maybe his dad's name, Matt Holliday, who also played in the bigs, but yeah. Jackson Holliday is going to be on this team, even though he's not playing today in opening day, which I'm disappointed by. But there's a lot of other dudes coming up. Best farm system, they're only going to get better.
And so on this day, Jessica is the best player that we have on our team. Most days, it's Hembo. We went through his Cedarville University statistics yesterday.
Yes!
He is the school's all-time leader in walks and in sack bunts. No one ever moved a runner over better than Hembo did.
Second base?
Oh,
boom. Yeah.
He was top of the order.
He was fourth in sack bunts.
Position. Fourth in sack bunts, yes.
Oh, fourth in sack bunts.
Yeah, just first in walks.
You guys
yeah.
were a bunting team.
We were a bunting team. We manufactured our runs at Cedarville.
That's just a fascinating way to describe yourselves. But one way or another, she's got the Orioles and the Dodgers. Hembo, what do you got?
I've got the Astros and the Braves. The Atlanta Braves, like just said, I think it's going to be a two-horse race between Atlanta and the Dodgers in terms of regular season record. Both of these teams have an over-under north of 100, which is very rare to see. Atlanta's loaded. They added Chris Sale to a team that was already absolutely stacked, but obviously the Dodgers had an offseason for the ages. The reason I'm a tad bit tepid about the Dodgers when it comes to the postseason is because of all the muscle memory. They've had so many disappointments in October, and with the cloud of the Ohtani stuff just kind of hanging over right now, I have a tough time having a clear-eyed picture of what that season and what that postseason is going to look like. And in the American League, I just think it's hard to bet against the Astros, given how much experience they have in the postseason and given how ridiculously good that bullpen is going to be. They added Josh Hader, a nine-figure closer, to that team. And so I think that's going to be the club that comes out of the American League.
Well, he brings up the most interesting part of all of this. And Jess, we've talked a lot about the Shohei Ohtani thing here on this radio show the last few days. I know you've obviously been talking about it. And you and I had a chance to talk about it here. And the only thing we can say about it with certainty is that there remain far more questions than we have answers. So the piece of it that feels most certain to discuss is how will this affect him and their team? It does not appear as this is something that's going to be adjudicated quickly. So I think it's a very likely possibility. We go through the whole season and we don't know what the ultimate ending of this is going to be. So what impact do you expect that to have on him and on the Dodgers as the season goes on?
Unless some sort of results investigation comes forward and Ohtani is not on the field, I don't think it's going to be a distraction. I do think the media is going to talk about it, and as information comes through, it'll be a distraction for the rest of us. Shohei Ohtani has an ability to compartmentalize. Him around the Dodgers a lot, being talking to his teammates, talking to manager, talking to everyone around him. I mean, he went out and pitched for the first time publicly just 7 minutes after he got done making that statement. I think that says a lot about Shohei Ohtani, what he's capable of doing. My biggest question mark is actually the other player that came from Japan, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. He struggled last week. Mm-hmm. This is $325 million, Greeny. And I get that Ohtani and everything that's around this, but there has never been a pitcher paid more money than not Ohtani, but Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And he right now does not look good. He's very nervous, super emotional, and he can't find the strike zone, which was his biggest strength as a pitcher.
I think that the Dodgers have as clear a path to winning 100 games as any team in baseball, like I said. And Ohtani is a freaking robot. That guy's a metronome. And unless Major League Baseball pulls him off the field, I don't see any obvious reason why he's not going to be an absolute monster, like 50 homer, 30 steal monster hitting number two for the Dodgers in that order. I think it's pretty clear that the rigor required to pitch every fifth or sixth day like he did previously is an enormous toll that no one can actually do while being a position player, which is what made him a unicorn, of course.
Another big key, too, is I do see him playing the outfield by the end of the season, and that is a big storyline that is going to continue to be followed. We saw the small little throwing program he was doing in the outfield the other day, but they need that DH position freed up. And right now, obviously, he's going to be in the lineup. We saw Max Muncy make multiple errors last week. The whole left side of the infield, Mookie Betts obviously moving to shortstop. But if Muncy can't field, they need his bat in the lineup. Like, there's nowhere to put him. Mm-hmm. So I see the pressure being, and Shohei, the robot that you mentioned, he's going to be playing the outfield this season.
We have Rangers-Cubs tonight exclusively on ESPN and here on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Deportes and on the ESPN app. So we're all over it as the season gets underway. We also ask you to make some postseason predictions. And I guess living here in New York in particular, the Juan Soto acquisition by the Yankees has been something that I have been fascinated by. And you made a prediction this morning that suggests you think it's going to go very well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so I'm a left-handed hitter, okay? Yeah. And so, like, I think about Yankee Stadium. I get excited. So many factors with Juan Soto. And Hembo and I were talking about this. The max he's hit in a season is 35 home runs. And now he's actually in a – he's never played in a stadium that's friendly for lefties. Plus, he's a free agent. Juan Soto wants $500 million. Mm. How do you get that? You slug. And he is going to slug. And who's the dude behind him? How many pitches is he going to get to hit? A ton. I mean, every factor to me says yes to Juan Soto having the year of his career.
Juan Soto is also my American League MVP pick. Jess, I think you're exactly right. Juan Soto is as intelligent a hitter as we have in Major League Baseball. And so in any environment he's in, he's going to adapt based upon the circumstances. In this environment he's in, he's got Aaron Judge hitting right behind him, which should promise him perhaps the most attractive pitch profile that he's ever seen. Hitting in Yankee Stadium, which is the second most attractive park in which to homer when you're a lefty. Coming from San Diego, that is a huge deal. I think Juan Soto is likely to hit 40-plus home runs. He's an extremely durable player with a shrewd batting eye. This might be the best offensive season of his career, and I think $500 million, like you said, is absolutely on the table.
Greeny, Jess is with us here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit Progressive.com. How about a surprise? How about a team that everyone doesn't? I mean, the world sees the Dodgers coming, and they see the Braves coming, and to some degree the Yankees coming and others. Is there a team out there that everyone isn't talking about that you think we will be talking about when we get to September?
I think there's two. One's the Detroit Tigers, and I think everyone forgets that there's an AL Central because it's been so bad, which I think leaves open the fact that whoever wins, there will be a winner in that division that will be in the postseason, and I think it's the Tigers this year. We talked about Tarik Skubal on the show and Get Up Today, and I think he's going to win the Cy Young. I think at least the pitching that he can do. Spencer Torkelson, we're seeing a young team being able to put it all together. Remember, A.J. Hinch, manager everyone's kind of forgotten about, came over from the Astros. So that's a team that I think is going to get a lot of attention, especially we realize who's going to be in the postseason. And the next is the Giants. Sorry.
My team, too.
Okay, then I'll throw
we
it to
feel
you.
Very favorably about the Giants. I think the fact that they were just able to pluck away the National League Cy Young Award winner from last year for pretty cheap is a huge deal. And this is a team that signed Jung-Hoo Lee out of Korea, who's going to be their leadoff hitter and a really, really good everyday center fielder. Jorge Soler is going to play either the DH or going to play in the outfield for him, 30-plus homers. And they got Matt Chapman, another Scott Boras client that didn't get anywhere near as much money as he could have. So the Giants, actually being really responsible with their spending, were able to pounce on a market that really played to their advantage. That team has improved a lot. I see the Giants as perhaps approaching 90 wins and getting into the playoffs somewhat unexpectedly.
How about that NL West? I mean, are you kidding
Loaded.
Me? I mean, we talked so much about the Dodgers. We've talked about the Padres and Tatis. Now we're giving love to the Giants. But, oh, by the way, the Diamondbacks made the World Series last year. Like, you know,
and just signed Jordan Montgomery.
So this team got it. They have Corbin Carroll, who's also an MVP candidate. I mean, there's just so much to love about the West, and I think because so many great players have signed now with that division, it's going to be the most talked about division in baseball.
All right, we're delighted. If you're relatively new to our show, this is one of the few shows of its kind where we take baseball as seriously as we do. We have Hembo, who is a walking encyclopedia, and we're delighted to have Jess here. I do feel while I have you here as though I want to ask you about something else. There's probably a generation of people who do not know where you came from. Jessica Mendoza is one of the greatest female athletes that our country has ever produced in a different generation, in a different space and time than we live in now. And I'm really curious to hear your perspective as we see, in particular, what Caitlin Clark is doing and the phenomenon that it has become. But not just her, just the explosion in popularity and significance of women's sports. The women's college basketball, the numbers, even the games that Iowa is not playing. I was looking at some of the numbers this morning. They are through the roof. Some of the opportunities that exist now in soccer and some of the other places. I mean, this is a world for female athletes that, candidly, you did not grow up in. And so I'm just really curious to hear what your perspective is on it all.
Honestly, I flew here from Washington, D.C. yesterday, where 100 women were invited, female athletes were invited to Kamala Harris's home to literally talk and celebrate what is happening right now in women's sports. Mm. In the moment, I mean, there was every single sport, every Olympian, Billie Jean King was, I mean, it was unbelievable generationally. There were high school softball players there that were talking about just the influence of every sport and what we're seeing. And I mean, you are going to get me like emotional because, to be honest, like, I mean, every dad who has a daughter, I mean, every girl that is out there, every woman that has wanted this, this is what we have seen start to happen when 1999 happened with the World Cup and soccer. And we thought it would happen quicker, but it's across all the sports. And you guys, it's the big thing. Everyone watches women's sports for so long. No one is watching was the biggest message. And now that we're actually putting it on television, everyone is watching. And I love it for my sons, who, by the way, watch Caitlin Clark and literally imitate her more than they imitate any NBA player. And that makes me so happy.
And it's a remarkable time. And as one who has been around this forever, and I'm a lot older than you are, it's not a time I honestly believed was possible. And here it is. And I think it is glorious, as you just said. You know, the thing about Billie Jean King, you know, Hembo and I do these sports history books. Do you know that the first time Billie Jean King won Wimbledon, do you know what her prize was? Do you know what the prize was for the women's champion at Wimbledon? What year was it, Hembo?
I'll pull it up in my notes.
1969 or 8 or something like that. Do you know what the prize was for the woman who won Wimbledon?
Was it 10,000 compared to 25,000?
It was a gift certificate for clothing.
What?
That's what they gave. That's what the woman, they gave her some sort of clothing certificate. That's the world that Billie Jean King lived in. She's still with us. And Billie Jean King, I've had the privilege of introducing her at a number of events. She's unbelievable. She still has more energy at her age than anyone I've ever met in my entire life. But my point is, that's one lifetime, you know, and that's how change takes place. Change, as much as we would love it to, it doesn't happen in a day. It doesn't happen in a year. It happens generation by generation. And if you look at Billie Jean King, who lived in a world where, what year was it?
1966.
1966. She won Wimbledon and they gave her a gift certificate for clothing. She is alive to see a world in which Caitlin Clark's games are outrating the men's tournament games. That's how the world changes. And I think there's something really fabulous about it.
But the hard that also has to happen to get there. I mean, Billie Jean King had to leave the tour and start her own for $1. She signed a contract with the Fabulous Nine to literally have that be their way of saying, screw you guys. Like, I don't want no gift certificate as my reward when the men are making money. And she made nothing to be able to get to the point where, obviously, women's tennis is now, but then obviously all across the board. Women's soccer and, by the way, hockey. Credit her for being the one to get the lawyers, to get equal pay, ask Julie Foudy, ask Angela Hoogleys and all the hockey players. I mean, literally so many people that understand that Billie Jean not just helped her own sport, she's helped all of us.
She's one of the 3 to 5 most important athletes, sports people in American history, without question. And we did a lot about that in our book. Anyway, I really felt it was important to hear your perspective on that. And it is great to see you. And now that we got baseball back, I hope we'll be seeing you regularly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll be here.
Jess Mendoza is ready to go. And so are we. The hashtag crew is ready. And we're back in a flash on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast. Greeny with Mike Greenberg.
So I opened up Get Up yesterday by saying to Jay Williams, if UConn was in the Eastern Conference of the NBA, they would make the playoffs. We're all laughing. And it became sort of a running gag through the show, so I said it a few different times. And my wife asked me yesterday, you know, you're trending. And I said, I'm trending? My show ended hours ago. What are you talking about? She said, well, everyone is saying that you said UConn is good enough to make the playoffs in the NBA. Was it not obvious I was kidding?
This is Greeny.
I guess the answer is no. It wasn't obvious. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. My worst fear with this thing has come true. Because now this has become something that's being asked to all of these important people who know that it is a ridiculous statement and don't know that I was kidding. And so now I feel terrible because, like, here's Dan Hurley, who's looking to win back-to-back national championships, and he has to address whether or not his team could make the playoffs in the NBA because it is being suggested to him I said it. Michelle Beadle, of all people, is defending me. My old pal Beadle, she's on there on her show with Chandler Parsons and Lou Williams. They're killing me. And she's like, I don't think Greeny was trying to make a hot take out of this. And they're just obliterating me. So as I said to you yesterday, I am more than willing to take all the heat in the world for things I say. Lord knows, I've said a million stupid things in my life. But as God is my witness, I was kidding. I literally said, UConn or the Celtics in a best of seven. And I just thought it was obvious that was a joke. What could I say? And when we listened to it back yesterday, I realized it doesn't sound like, on every reference, it didn't sound like I was kidding. And all it takes is someone to hear one reference. But I'll tell you, it does make you a little gun shy about saying stuff and not constantly needing to explain it. By the way, I'm kidding. By the way, I'm kidding. You know, which I don't want to live that way, and I don't think anyone else wants to live that way. But now I feel like an idiot. I mean, I got people ripping me to shreds for something that I absolutely agree with them on, and they're disagreeing with my opinion, and I don't share my opinion with me. So that's a terrible place to find oneself.
I find this much funnier than you
well,
do.
Well, Bubba, by the way. Bubba, Mets rained out today, so Bubba's here today. Cam here today. Hashtag crew is assembled around me. Bubba's in the Mets jersey, which I see, which I like. What player do you have on? Who are you wearing?
This is Piazza.
Piazza, okay, very good. when I see all this stuff has happened this morning, because I didn't even know about it last night. I come in this morning, I open the radio rundown, and here's a bunch of stuff. Dan Hurley says Greeny's claim is crazy talk. Chandler Parsons and Lou Williams rip Mike Greenberg's UConn talk. Paolo Banchero doubts UConn could win an NBA game.
Oh, really?
And Hembo is dying laughing. Yeah. And I got to tell you, it's the closest I've ever come to killing Hembo. Like, if I had some sort of weapon, I think I might have used it in that moment. Because it's just not funny. Like, again, I guess there's nothing better to do than laugh about it, because what else can we do? Like, the cat is long since out of the bag on this thing. I'm never going to convince everyone that I was kidding. So if you think I really meant that and now I'm just backtracking, okay, what can I do? I know UConn couldn't beat the Celtics in a best-of-seven series. I don't know how more directly I can say it than that. So, Bubba, what do you think of this?
Yeah, no, I agree. I know you were kidding all along, but like I said, the way you just kept saying it, and I missed a lot of your mentions on Get Up, but I know the way we heard it here on the radio, it sounded pretty serious. So that's the issue. I think I understand where people thought you were serious, but I know, like I said, we've talked about it many, many times on the show. Anytime it comes up, oh, this team could win in the NFL, Alabama could beat an NFL team, you're the first person to say that's stupid and that's dumb. So I 100% believe you that you were kidding, but the way you said it definitely came across as serious.
And the other piece of this let's get Hembo's. First of all, I know you think this is funny.
I just think it's funny. I think the fact that this reached the desk of Dan Hurley is hilarious.
It's ridiculous. And the man is trying to win back-to-back national championships, and he has to answer questions about what I... Like, that was my biggest
fear. Before we talk
fear.
About your upcoming game against San Diego State, Mike Greenberg had some comments.
Yeah. Bubba, my question is this. Is Greeny's KOD powerful enough for San Diego State to pull this off? Because if San Diego State beats UConn, it would be the greatest KOD of all time.
Dan Hurley would have an epic post-game rant just ripping Greeny to shreds. You know whose fault this is? It's not Donovan Klingon's fault. It's that joke on the radio's fault.
I know, yeah.
He said we could beat the Celtics, and we couldn't even beat San Diego State.
And my players got overconfident. Because
all my players were listening to Greeny's radio show.
All right, I'm now going to tell you something I hadn't mentioned because I'm trying to protect someone, but I have to be honest about what happened here. You know whose fault this really is?
Whose?
Dan Orlovsky.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to take you back through exactly what happened. So last Monday, not this past Monday, but the Monday before, Dan Orlovsky texted me. I'm on vacation. I'm in Colorado. He texts me, "When are you coming back, Greeny?" I text him back, again, jokingly, "I'm coming back the day after Northwestern beats UConn in Brooklyn," because, you know, our teams were on a collision course to play each other. Dan went to UConn. UConn was a 14.5-point favorite, whatever. My family came home. We watched Northwestern beat Florida Atlantic in a thriller on Friday. And at that point, it was pure house money. I knew we had almost no chance of beating UConn. And then the minute the game started, I saw they're just on a whole different level. Earlier that day, Orlovsky goes public on Twitter and suckers me, basically shames me into making a bet. He's like, "Greeny, let's make a bet on this game if UConn wins." And he's like making a very expensive bet. We're betting like dinner at the Polo Bar, and he's talking about inviting anyone we want to this. Like that literally, depending on who he invites, that's thousands of dollars that he's trying to get me to bet on a game in which I've got Northwestern and he's got UConn. So I tried to wangle some stakes or some odds out of it where I basically made his version of the bet more expensive than mine. But what chance do I have? I'm not going to make him a bet and say I want 14.5 points on my alma mater. Like, no one's going to do that. So I came in Monday kind of cranky about that whole thing. So that might have contributed to why I was like, "Come on, UConn's unfairly good. They're better than an NBA team." Like, I just was that sort of the mood I was in for that reason. And I think, Bubba, when you say that I was saying it over and over, which I didn't even realize I was doing, but when I was saying it, I think that was what motivated me to be this sort of passionate about it, because I was kind of aggravated that, like, I lost this big dinner bet on a bet I had no chance of winning to begin with. So that, I think, contributed. Why is that funny to you?
I find all of it hilarious. I mean, Chandler Parsons is cussing you out on FanDuel TV.
Chandler Parsons, and Beetle is defending me.
Beetle is defending you.
God bless her. I love you, Beetle.
It's not working.
She tried. That's my point. Like, Beetle is like, nah, Greeny's really not that type of person. And they're like, oh, yes, he is. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just trying to get clicks.
Enraged NBA players.
I know.
And former NBA players. Like, I understand it's not actually funny, but me as an observer, who doesn't have to wear this the way that you do, finds it funny.
Lou Williams. He's full of bleep.
Is what I'm saying. Lou Will. Is now he's
A2 Brute.
I don't really have a defense. My defense is the worst defense in the world, which is I was only kidding. It's like in a TV show when they tell you something was just a dream. It's a very disappointing way to try and wrap up a storyline. So I fully understand if anyone else was saying I was just kidding. I wouldn't accept that.
I think the other point you were making that day separately was how weak the Eastern Conference was in relation to the West because we were comparing the play-ins.
I was. So, I stand by that.
That's a good point.
So the convergence of all these factors led you to...
I stand by that. If I were to say the Houston Rockets right now would like be a danger in the Eastern Conference, whereas they're probably not even going to make the play-in despite winning 10 straight games in the West. If I said that, I don't know that Lou Will would be killing me in quite the way he is.
Killing you.
But I do mean it. But now I got Lou Will mad at me, of all people. Chandler Parsons.
Oh, and you need UConn to run roughshod now. Well, like, they got to go 4-0 to finish here. It's got to be dominant. And I need Hurley to be asked this on the stand at the end with the confetti coming down.
You know what I need? I need them to actually schedule a game against an NBA team and win.
If they win the title on the stand, Dan Hurley's like, and up next, the Atlanta Hawks.
This is for you, Greeny.
No. You know, college football teams will say we want Bama on the sign.
Yeah.
They'll say we want the Hawks.
Yeah, we want an
we
NBA
We want the
team.
Play-in.
We want the play-in. That's exactly it. Good God. So, like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do. Am I going to call Lou? Am I going to text Beetle and say, can you give me Lou Will's number so I can call him and explain that's not really what I meant? Like, I just have to kind of let it die down on its own. But it has, like, taken on a life
you
of its own.
You need to prepare one of these statements that they play on the Jumbotron.
Right.
Before a Hawks game, they play it, and you apologize.
Or before a UConn game. Like, before the game. Do they play? They play tonight, right?
Yes.
Please, God, let them win. If they get knocked out,
oh my God,
then I'm gonna have to come on tomorrow and say San Diego State could make the playoffs in the NBA Eastern Conference. I mean, I don't know what to do. You cannot defend an opinion you yourself don't have.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, this
it's
sucks.
So rich.
I know, it sucks. And the fact that you like it makes it so much worse.
I really like it.
Bubba, do you like it?
Not nearly as much as Hembo. I think it's comical, but
I think it's funny because how could you not think it's funny? The fact that all these people think it's serious is profoundly stupid. That's the thing I can't get over. It's like you're mad about something that isn't real.
Yeah,
that's why I think it's so funny.
I just know that I know it was a joke, so I just moved on from it. But it's just I guess it's funny just seeing all these people take it so seriously.
So anyway, that's what's going on with me. How's everybody else doing? All right, let me give you 30 seconds from AutoZone here. Dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not, or if you're in need of a fresh charge. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They're the only place you can find proven tough Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. Draft prep.
So you ready for the draft? Let's get started.
Greeny's Draft Prep.
Incredibly interesting and important week in the NFL draft process. Yesterday was Jaden Daniels Pro Day, and today is Drake Mays. And we'll see how that all works out with Drake May. But we are living in a world where there was once a time when the question was, will Caleb Williams or Drake May go number one? That has now transitioned to two other questions. One, could Jaden Daniels become the first pick in this draft? Two, will Drake May even be the third quarterback taken in this draft? Because J.J. McCarthy's stock in the eyes of some, I think, has surpassed his. Now, again, Drake May has his pro day today. Teams tend to place a lot of significance on those, perhaps sometimes too much, but we'll see. But one way or another, let's start with the Jaden Daniels of it all. Lewis Riddick, basically, after the pro day yesterday, making no bones about it.
If I'm Chicago right now, like, I'm seriously sitting there going, who do we take? Do we take this guy number one? Because for me, look, I got to see both him and Caleb now back-to-back. And I love talking to Caleb, and I love the way, you know, he kind of contextualized everything that's going on with him right now. And with Jaden, the same way, just so composed, so mature, has a great sense of where he still needs to go and what he needs to work on. The way he got around with his teammates today, this kid is special. This kid, for me, is QB1. And I think talking to the people around here who were here at this workout, where there was darn near every team was here today, I think there's a lot of people looking at this going, he may just be QB1.
What do we think of that?
Wow. Okay, so right now at ESPN Bet, Caleb Williams is still, by a long shot, the favorite to be the number one overall pick. It's minus 5,000. If you want to bet on Jaden Daniels to be 1-1, you got to. It's 12-1. You can get great odds, but it's super unlikely, obviously, based upon the betting market. What Lewis is saying is fascinating, because Lewis is a person whose opinion I greatly, greatly take into account. And what he means, or at least what he's telling us, is that he's not worried about Jaden Daniels physically the same way that I am. I mean, Jaden Daniels looks like a pencil. He's 6'4", 210. At least that's what LSU listed him as. I can't imagine that the Jaden Daniels I saw last year get beat up in the SEC, take the hits that he took in the SEC, surviving at all in the NFL. Bryce Young, people made the exact same argument for Bryce Young. They're built very similarly. Obviously, Young is a lot shorter, but he's also very slight. I cannot imagine using the number one overall pick in the draft on a player with that body. To me, that is the perfect example of drafting an outlier.
Well, so here's what the pushback I would have. I tend to feel the same way. Now, for what it's worth, I asked Lewis today about that, and Lewis said that his lower body, which is more important than his upper body, actually looks thicker than he thought it would in person. And at the combine, he's 6'4", 210. And so if he gets himself to like 215, 220, that at least by his actual weight won't be that light. Now, I agree with you. He looks extremely slight. The only pushback I would have is, if I'm willing to take him second, I'd still be willing to take him first. Like, either he's too small or he's not. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
If you think he's too small, then you don't take him first, second, or third. If you don't worry about it, then there's no reason not to take him first. I guess what I'm saying is the difference in size between Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels would not be the deciding factor.
That's right. That's a well-made point. What would worry me about Jaden Daniels is that either he's going to have to considerably modify his playing style so that he can absorb a 17-game NFL schedule, or you're just going to be really susceptible to wear and tear. And that's a major concern of mine. I think Jaden Daniels was the best player in college football last year by a lot. His stats, I love to dig into the research with this stuff. His stats are unbelievable. He created the same number of explosive plays last year that Joe Burrow did in 2019, in the best college football season a quarterback ever had. And Jaden Daniels did it in three fewer games with a much worse offensive line. Jaden Daniels' numbers are just off the charts. But as Rex Ryan likes to say, it's a men's league, and I remain apprehensive that Jaden Daniels can play 17 games in a men's league.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the big question mark here. There's one other piece of this that I think is worth noting. Do you know where Caleb Williams has still never been? Chicago. He has not gone there for his visit. He has not taken his physical. I think that there are tea leaves to be read that suggest that there is still a twist or turn to be taken here. For what it's worth, the Bears were at LSU's pro day yesterday. Now, so were a lot of other really good LSU players that the Bears might be drafting, not their quarterback notwithstanding, including Malik Nabers, who may have vaulted himself up into being the first wide receiver in this draft ahead even of Marvin Harrison Jr. But that said, there has been this smoke around Caleb Williams preferring not to go to Chicago for a while. It's never turned into a fire, and he has said the right things. But until he shows up there, there are still some boxes to be checked before the Bears can take him 1-1. And I'm just not. So you're telling me right now it is 12-1 that Jaden Daniels is the first pick in this draft, and that is not team specific, right?
Correct.
So regardless of who it is, I think that's an interesting bet. I don't think it's impossible that happens. Now, one of the problems we have with the draft, and you mentioned Lewis. Lewis was 100% on C.J. Stroud last year, and certainly at this point he looks like he was dead right about that, and now he's on Jaden Daniels. we sometimes approach this, and maybe I'm as guilty of it as anyone, by acting like it's a consensus. Like, well, if 54% of the people think Jaden Daniels should be 1-1, he's going to go 1. At the end of the day, only one person's opinion matters. You're going to hear from 1,000 people over the course of the month of April on who it should be. But only Ryan Poles and the people with him in that building will make that decision. So the consensus doesn't matter. So you have to read the signs. And I still think there are some signs that suggest it is not signed, sealed, and delivered.
It's a well-made point. Twice in recent memory, we've seen the number one pick change basically overnight right before the draft. In 2022, it went from being Aiden Hutchinson to Trayvon Walker. And in 2018, at the very last minute, it was Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold and everyone else in that draft class. So most definitely, it would not surprise me if this wound up happening.
Sneaky Embo trivia time. Let's go.
I got group trivia for you. The Division I women's basketball tournament dates to the year 1982. So since then, since 1982, there are four schools that have won at least three titles. You're going to give me all four schools to win at least three women's basketball championships since 1982.
All right, and we'll figure out which one of them could win the WNBA as well. I'm kidding. We're back in a flash on ESPN Radio.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. In 30 seconds, we'll take our shot at Hembo's group trivia. That's after this reminder that ESPN Bet is now live. As the official sportsbook of ESPN, ESPN Bet's the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The NCAA Women's Basketball Tournament for Division I dates to the year 1982. Since 1982, there are four schools that have won at least three championships, and you're going to give me all four schools.
All right, so we have been going over this during our break. There are two that are incredibly obvious. All right, so I don't need to consult anybody. Obviously, UConn is one of them.
They've won 11.
Right. And tennis, sorry?
I just said sheesh.
Sheesh is a good
11.
Word.
11.
Yes, sheesh is a good word. And then I have to believe Pat Summit in Tennessee is another.
Tennessee has 8.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So there's two. Now, we all feel very good about Stanford, right?
Bubba less so, but I do.
I feel like Stanford sort of was the dominant program in the sport before UConn became the dominant program in the sport, and they've remained very good. And I think Chinne Igumbuke won a championship there, which is much more recently. So I feel like the threshold is how many championships?
Three championships.
It's three. I feel like Stanford's going to have three.
I like Stanford.
Bubba, you like it?
I personally don't think so, but I
who do you feel better about?
Baylor, I would say.
Well, those are our four. So, I mean, we're going to get this,
both of them.
We're going to get this wrong if it isn't those two. So it doesn't matter what order. We're going to go with Stanford and Baylor. Hembo, what are the two remaining schools?
The two remaining schools are Stanford and Baylor.
Yes!
Wow.
Oh, that's nice. Let's do it.
Woo! Wow. Stanford won in 1990, 1992, and 2021. Baylor in 2005, 2012, and 2019.
Wow. So Chinne did not win.
So I'm wrong. Yeah,
but it was a couple years ago they did win.
Yeah, they were dominant in the early 90s and then won again 30 years later.
Let's go.
What year did Cheryl Miller graduate from USC? Because in my childhood, she was overwhelmingly the best player, but that might be – I can't decide how long ago that was.
So USC does have two championships, and I think that would have been – yes.
I think she was on the 84
Olympic
team.
Yeah, she won 83 and 84.
Yes. Yeah, so she was there at the very beginning, and USC won twice.
She was the best player.
They might win again with JuJu Watkins.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. Cheryl Miller
three-time
was
player
a legend.
Of the year. Yeah.
South Carolina and USC could both get to three.
That's true.
She was legendary in a way that very few female athletes were at that time. And, you know, we had a lengthy conversation about this with Jessica Mendoza at the beginning of the show today, and it's a good one. And it's something I wrote in a book a long, long, long time ago that is only becoming more and more and more applicable in sports. And when I wrote it, it didn't have anything to do with sports, is that as much as we would like change, all of us, you know, who are reasonably progressive in our thinking, whatever, however we may define that, who believe that the world has areas in which it needs to improve, society, whatever, however you want to define it, we would all like to see that happen immediately. We all want to tweet something and then tomorrow the world is a different place. That unfortunately, when you get to be my age, you learn that isn't how the world works. But here is how the world works. My mom is the first woman in the history of my family to go to college. When she graduated from high school in New York City, she'll tell you this many times, of all of her friends, she was one of two girls that went to college. So she goes to a big New York City public high school in the Bronx. I don't know exactly how many people were in her graduating class, but it had to be in the hundreds. And of all the women she knew, the girls, 17, 18-year-old girls she knew, two of them went to college. All the rest of them got married, had kids, whatever it is that the world was like in the 1950s when this was happening. My mom's the first woman in the history of our family to go to college. My wife has a master's degree. My daughter could be the president of the United States. That's how progress works. As much as we would like it to go faster than that, as much as there are moments of impatience that we all naturally feel because we see inequity and we say, well, that's not fair. The reality is it's happening. And that's generally speaking through human history, the pace at which these things happen. And the point that we made about Billie Jean King is a great one. In one lifetime, Billie Jean King in 1966 won Wimbledon and was given a certificate for clothing as the champion. And in some major part because of her and the efforts of so many other people, she now is living to see a time where Caitlin Clark, playing for Iowa, is being offered $5 million to play in the Big Three. And the game when Iowa played West Virginia in the second round of the NCAA tournament the other day on ESPN drew 4.9 million viewers. 4.9. Do you know how many... How many NBA games get 4.9 million viewers? And in the regular season, the answer is none. Like, you might have to get maybe the conference final. Like, I don't have those numbers in front of me.
I mean, certainly in the playoffs. I can't even imagine a Christmas Day game would do that number.
4.9 million is in on ESPN.
This is crazy. I'm looking at a list per Sports Media Watch of the highest rated women's tournament games prior to the Final Four. And each of the top three... The West Virginia game that you mentioned at 4.9, Iowa versus Holy Cross at 3.3, and last year in the Elite Eight, Iowa-Louisville at 2.5, are the top three. Caitlin Clark games are each of the top three. So not only is her play extraordinary and evident for all of us to see, she's a brilliant player, but she also has the pay-it-forward quality that I think is required for that progress to accelerate, and it's a very meaningful thing, an exceedingly meaningful thing. I mean, she has meant so much to the American sporting landscape already, having played in college basketball and having done it so well and for so long, that she draws in such a wide swath of the audience that the sport has really never seen. These are astronomical numbers, and even the most optimistic ESPN person, when projecting out what these ratings might be, would never have seen a day where this came. Never.
And the question is, does she just become the first? And I think the answer is yes. I think that there are plenty of people, JuJu Watkins in particular at USC, who we mentioned, and plenty of others who are going to become stars of that magnitude. And it's just going to continue to grow.
So looking at the NBA ratings for Christmas Day, obviously the NFL now is hurting those things.
Never compare anything to the NFL.
But I'm just saying it's lower in the NBA, though. But either way, Lakers-Celtics was the highest game, and that was 5 million. So
this was basically that.
Just slightly over that. But apart from that, the Iowa game beat the other four games.
So call it a flat-footed tie between LeBron James versus the Celtics on the NBA's biggest regular season.
Was that ABC or was that ESPN?
That was ESPN and ABC, but both. It got higher ratings than Knicks Bucks, Nuggets Warriors, Heat Sixers, and Suns Mavs.
Yeah.
Iowa West Virginia was on ESPN. It was on cable.
Yeah.
It did 5 million viewers.
Yeah, it's insane. But maybe just as important, our VP of ESPN research tweeted that while obviously Iowa and Caitlin Clark have delivered these record-breaking audiences, non-Iowa games are also up 74% year over year.
74%?
74.
Man, that's a remarkable trickle-down effect.
Yeah, people are into it. It's growing, and it's a day that not everyone knew for sure would ever happen. If you don't celebrate it, then you really need to question yourself. Okay, we got Christian Laettner and much more as we continue. This is ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.